Australian philosopher Glenn Albrecht coined a new term back in 2004, solastalgia. He was trying to describe the combination of grief and longing people feel when a place they love has been damaged. It's a sad commentary on the state of the planet today that the word caught on quickly. It's even inspired songs like the music we're listening to now. Glenn Albrecht told Ann Strange Champs he first noticed the phenomenon about 10 years ago when he began getting a lot of phone calls from people in a particular area of Australia, New South Wales.
Yeah, there were from people who were very distressed about the impact of open-cut coal mining and black coal power stations in the Hunter Valley of New South Wales, which is really the centre of coal mining, booning and exporting for the whole of eastern Australia.
And what were they saying in the phone calls?
These people, many of them were farmers with long-term connections to land in that area, who were saying that the very thing that they enjoyed about living in rural eastern Australia, the clean air, the beautiful night skies, the bird life, the clean rivers, all of the things that make rural living a joy and a pleasure, were being destroyed by the over 500 square kilometres of open pit coal mining. And I realised then that there were very few words in English that captured the emotion and the distress that these people were feeling. Also the melancholia, you know, it was definitely a form of deep depression, not something which could be clinically diagnosed, but something which was nevertheless an existential problem of deep distress, deep melancholia that these people were experiencing.
How did you come up with the name?
I knew what I was looking for. I was looking for something to match the structure of nostalgia, but nevertheless convey a new idea, which was that people who are in their home environment and that home environment is actually changing around them, as is the case, say, with climate change or mining, the environment that you live in, your home, is actually literally moving away from you. So it's the opposite of nostalgia in a sense, where nostalgia is you move away from your home and you experience melancholia or homesickness when you wish to return. And with solastalgia, your home is actually packing up and moving away from you and you want it back.
The concept by now of solastalgia has really spread. It's been applied not just to people in Australia, but to Canadian Inuits, to farmers in Ghana. Who else?
Well, unfortunately, it is spreading. And I say unfortunately because it's a sign that people are identifying the distress coming from the state of the environment in more and more places all over the world. The only good thing I can say about it is that it's not only being recognised as a genuine form of distress, a genuine form of melancholia, but it's also being picked up by artists and all sorts of other creative people to try and bring attention to the fact that human beings are now engaging in a very negative relationship with their home and support environment. We're actually undermining our own foundations. And if through academic work plus creative work, we can begin to identify the problem more clearly, we're on the right track. We can then begin to think about solutions and turning the big ship around.
In terms of the causes of solastalgia, we've talked about climate change and ecological devastation. I'm wondering about some other possible contributing factors. Do you think the fact that we're spending more and more of our lives in front of computer screens might have something to do with those higher levels of solastalgia?
Yes, I believe so, but particularly with our children and Louvre in his Last Child in the Woods with the concept of nature deficit disorder has really nailed this one. I agree completely with the analysis that this abstract virtual world that we're almost totally encompassed within now is at the root of some of our alienation from real life processes, and that as a consequence we're unable to emotionally and psychologically, existentially connect with the very things which are the foundation of life. And as a consequence, we're getting sadly wrong this fundamental relationship between ourselves and our home environment, whether it be home in a region or a place or home the earth. And so the virtual world is fascinating and beguiling, and it's time-consuming and it's time-wasting, but it's actually a major issue with respect to our relationship with real life and real life processes. And this was brought home to me when I watched Avatar, that we can get totally caught up in a virtual world and we can experience virtual solastalgia when a beautiful, benign, you know, Gaian type civilization is threatened by a bunch of miners from Earth, and we actually have the equivalent of the Hunter Valley being played out on a big
on a big screen,
in front of us. The irony couldn't be greater. Yeah. But here we have the virtual world being used as a powerful form of education, if you like, about the real world. I'm not too sure how many people actually get it, but I believe that Avatar may have had a much greater effect on environmental education than you know, most of the professional educators and professional academics have achieved over the many decades. So there's a negative and the positive with respect to the virtual.
Right. So what do you do about solastalgia? How does one treat it?
I think it can be addressed and confronted by the active repair of one's home environment. So, for example, in the Upper Hunter, even though the scale and scope of the desolation of the environment is so huge, people join land care movements, they replant vegetation, they repair creek lines, they put back as much of the desolated environment as they can. And so in repairing their home environment, they're also repairing their own psychological or mental states. There's a very important restoration going on in both the land and in the minds of people.
Well, you've also recently coined another new word, solophilia, which also offers some insight into how to address solastalgia, doesn't it?
I think it does, because it suggests that we need to cooperate and collaborate with other people. The sol is from solidarity. It's the social, cultural, and political love that we need, the philia, to actually halt the progression of solastalgia through further environmental degradation, through climate change. I think within us we all have a fundamental sense of love and affiliation about our home environment and the people and other non-human beings that exist in those home environments, and that's something we can tap into.
Have you found examples of any communities that you would say have high levels of solophilia?
The honest answer to that is no, but I'm doing research in the southwest of Western Australia at the moment, in an area that is a beautiful, virtually pristine landscape, never been mined, still under lots of native vegetation cover, primary industries that seem on the surface to be in harmony with that landscape, a population which consists of surfers, hippies, retired doctors, and a whole lot of other people who have retired or have set up alternative lifestyles in this it's called the Cape to Cape region, with a town called Margaret River in the middle of it. I think there's some solophilia there, but there must be many places on Earth where people still feel very strongly about the beauty of the landscape, their relationship to it, and that this love that they have of place is something that they would wish to maintain. And if something threatens it, including something as large as global warming, that they would be prepared to work with others to try and resist it. So I'm hopeful, if you like, that solophilia is there and that people are looking for a rallying cry, a new way of thinking about their relationship to home, one that just cuts across a lot of the past history and gives us a hopeful and positive way of looking at the future, rather than the one which is locked into the depression and paralysis of solastalgia, and worse, the depression, you know, even clinical depression that can come when our relationship to land becomes totally, totally desolated.
Glenn Albrecht is a philosopher and professor of sustainability at Murdoch University in Western Australia. Anne Strangechamp spoke with him.